Taking a look now at consumer protection issues with Jim Rabbit of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Larry Mueller here. Pleased to have you listening in. Give us a call if you have a question, a complaint, an issue that you want to have dealt with, and a question about it. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And Jim Rabbit, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know, all the flooding and the damage, I was reading in the Wisconsin State Journal that it's pretty hard to even get somebody, you know, now to help get your home repaired or your buildings repaired or what have you, because everybody is really busy. And that could lead to some problems for people.
Well, we're just starting to see the beginnings of those problems. Folks were in the emergency mode, just trying to get the water out and clean up. And so usually a couple of weeks after a big disaster like this is when consumer protection issues start to show up. And we're seeing a couple of things where it's very difficult to find a contractor. There are also contractors showing up from as far away as Florida who follow the storms. And we have a lot of concerns about that because when they're done, they're gone. Yeah. And if you have warranty issues and you so there are a lot of consumer issues that we need to talk about. One of the things we've done in the last week or so is contacted most of the storm damaged areas, the emergency government areas, and let them know that we're a resource for consumers who would like to check out a contractor or haven't had the occasion to hire one for so many years. They want to talk to somebody about how to go about doing that. And so we're just starting to get those calls and consumers with lots of questions.
So just be cautious, I guess is the word.
Be cautious.
Well, Jeff in Green Bay has a question for you, so let's go right to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Larry.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I am a small business person. I work by myself. And the telemarketing calls are really a big interruption to my day. And there's one company in particular, I don't know who they are, they won't tell me. They've called quite a few times over the last year, and they always ask for Joan Schmidt. And I tell them, there's no Joan Schmidt here, please take me off your list. And they say, okay, we will. And then I get the call back again in a couple of weeks. And I'm wondering if this is some sort of a phishing ploy, or if you've heard of this, if you've got any knowledge about anything like this.
It is not unusual, you know, just to try and confirm that someone's answering that phone. And so we do hear a little bit of that. What I would advise, if you have caller ID especially, call our hotline and file a complaint. And we'll try and track down who's making these calls. Because even though business numbers, the no-call list is for residential phones, if a business person tells someone to put them on their individual no-call list, they should be doing that. So we would be very interested in trying to help you out with that.
Okay. I'll have to get caller ID.
And that's probably a good thing, especially for a business, I would think.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, there's been some attempts in the past to put small business phones on the no-call list, and there were a couple of proposals, but none of them have made it so far.
All right, thanks very much. And the hotline number is, Jim? It's 800-422-7128?
That is correct.
So 800-422-7128, that number to call. And by the way, talking about no call, you have until the end of August to get your cell phone on the next no call list that starts in October, correct?
Yes. This is the first time we've had cell phones allowed on the list, and so we're waiting to see how many sign up.
We already signed ours up.
Well, we're somewhere, it's a little surprising, we're a little over 100,000, which is not
very many.
No, I thought there would be a lot more.
It might be that people just aren't getting that number, the volume of calls that they got on their landline that is tipping it.
Yeah. Actually, one of our concerns, we didn't know how many numbers were going to go on the list, but people like me who still have a landline, I don't give my cell phone number out to just anybody.
Yeah.
A lot of people who don't have a landline anymore, their cell number is out a lot more broadly, and list brokers are starting to pick them up. And so we really didn't know what to expect when we added this, but it is available, anyone who wants to put their number on.
And how do they do that?
There is a toll-free number, 1-866-966-2255. And it takes about 3 minutes to sign up. Or you can go to nocall.wisconsin.gov.
Yeah, we went to the online and did it. Didn't take very long. It's a minute or two, and you were done.
Yep. It's very quick and easy.
Diane in West Bend, it's your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I ordered two health products online in November of last year. I received one product with a note saying that the other product would be sent separately. Well, I have not received it as of yet. I've emailed the company a dozen times with absolutely no response. I contacted the Better Business Bureau, which they didn't receive any response from this company. And also, the company had used the Better Business Bureau logo illegally.
Huh. Oh, boy. Have they billed your card for the product?
Yes, they have. And okay. I've contacted my charge card company, which had tried to contact them with no resolution.
Okay. I would advise you to file a complaint with us. Are they from out of state?
Yes.
Okay. File a complaint with us, and we will try and identify them. It sounds like they might be out of business.
It seems that they're still active, a very large health diet vitamin center.
Oh, okay. We can reach across state lines, and maybe we will have some success with getting them to reverse the charges and cancel the order for you.
Okay. Well, that would be wonderful.
Give us a try.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in with a question for Jim Rabbit at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Spence in Campbellsport is up next. Hi, Spence.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Say, last year, I think it was about a year ago, I was just going to try taking I ported my landline number into my cell phone because I seemed to use a cell phone a lot more. And it's working out really well, but I was on the do not call list with my land-based phone number, so I keep the same number and I have it on my cell phone. And it's working out really well because I've had that number for over 40 years. And I'm just wondering now, do I have to sign up for the do not call list too now that it's on a cell phone?
It's the same number?
Yes, I ported the number.
Okay. You just need to renew it every 2 years if it's already on the list?
The land-based line was, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that's good for how many years?
That's good for 2 years.
Oh.
And my advice is just renew it once a year. All that does is set the expiration date back.
Yeah.
So I would just renew it every year to make sure it stays on the list.
Okay. Would I use that new number you gave out? Or?
Yes. The 1-866-966-2255.
I didn't get those last four digits.
2255.
2255. Well, I think I will do that, and thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Dennis in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Just a couple thoughts. One on the cell phones on the no-call list. I know we have three cell phones, and we're not putting them on the no-call list because we have a landline also, so our phone numbers aren't out there that much, and we're concerned that if we happen to forget to renew our no-call list on the cell phones, that they will then be out in the open market. So that was just our thought on that. I don't know if that's the case that it happened that way or not. But then also on caller ID, I know we have caller ID, and one of the problems we have is we'll be getting calls, and it just says out of area. There'll be no identification with it, no phone number. Those we usually just let go to our answering machine. So
yeah. Well, a couple things there. Go ahead, Jim.
The first question about whether or not your number would go out on the open market, you know, because it was on the no-call list, companies are prohibited from releasing that list to anyone. So it shouldn't get out on the open market. Mm-hmm. If we find a company doing that, I would take that very, very hard. What was the second question? The second question was on
the caller ID.
Caller ID.
We receive out
open
of area
market
calls.
Or out of
There's
area.
No number or anything associated with them.
Well, it is illegal in Wisconsin for a telemarketer to block their caller ID. Having said that, That's one of the difficulties we have with consumer complaints when they do block it, is trying to find out who they are. Sometimes we actually have to go to the phone company and subpoena records to get the phone company to try and trace those calls back.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, right now we're working on, I don't know if listeners have been getting those calls from the auto warranty people that say your auto warranty is expiring and they actually don't even know what car you own. And we're actually trying to find people who may have bought that product because we're having difficulty tracing back on those phone numbers. So that is a problem that we have along the way, and we usually find them eventually.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. So the area calls, then, I mean, if we continue, they come in spurts, and if we get a large spurt of them, we can call you guys, and you could try and track your records based on our incoming phone calls?
We could give it a try. It's helpful if we know who, you know, what the callers are trying to sell.
Yeah.
So if they're leaving messages or if you actually are picking up and talking to them, if we have some idea who they are, generally enough consumers call in, we can piece together a picture of who it is.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Annette, your turn in Madison. Hi, Annette.
Hi. Piggybacking on the last call, we get a lot of calls from telemarketers that our caller ID lists as a private number, that no number is displayed. And would it be helpful when we complain to you if we had the exact time and date? I mean, sometimes if they don't leave a message, so we don't know what the product is. But just wondering why private caller would appear on the on our caller ID.
All right, and we'll take that issue up in just a couple of minutes here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jim Rabbit of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And certainly, if you have a question about something bothering you, I hope you'll join us. The number is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison. The number 263-1890 is the one you should use. And Jim, we've been talking about this caller ID business. You've got caller ID. Somebody's got caller ID. You expect when somebody calls, you're going to get the number. But in some cases, there's no number at all showing on the caller ID, or in others, it says private call. Is that any different? What's the deal with something like that?
There are several different messages that show up on the caller ID. Basically, it depends on where the call is coming from. The phone company sends the message, we can't identify this number. And
right.
It may say private call. It may say unknown. It may say out of area. It's, you know, if it's a call coming from another state, it could be just their phone system doesn't talk to our phone system very well, or they may not even have the technology yet, which would be hard to imagine, but it's possible. So all of those messages are pretty much the same thing that the information that your phone company needs to post caller ID for you is not available.
Not there.
It's just not there. There from the host.
And so, but still, if you're getting bothered and maybe you find out at least what the company's about, maybe they leave a message, you can still turn it over to Consumer Protection, right?
Yes, sometimes we gather bits and pieces from a number of different consumers who call us, and eventually we can figure out who's initiating the calls. So certainly give us a call. Tell us what you know about someone that's calling you.
Holly in Sussex is up now. Holly, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Oh, you mentioned before about this warranty and these telephone calls that never stop.
Yes.
Well, we purchased the car about 2 years ago. And evidently the warranty let out, and my husband decided not to renew it. So he went, they keep calling here and telling us you have your warranty is up, it's time to reorder or call in and so forth. And it's a recording. So they keep, I just hang up on him, but it never stops. And We bought it through a private party, an estate sale, and it was a brand new car. And excuse me. And they, we took it to our local Ford dealer, and we think maybe it's coming from there, or who, the Ford dealership is calling us constantly.
Well, one of the things that we're finding is if you do return the call, if they're leaving a message saying, call us about your warranty, when you call them, the first question they ask is, what car do you have?
Yeah.
And so consumers are telling us they don't even know what they're calling about. They're, you know, so I had an interesting conversation where I told them the name of a car. And they said, yeah, that's the one that's expiring. And I said, well, I just bought it 2 days ago, you know, just to fool around with them. So it's clear a lot of these callers, and they're coming from all over the country, so we're trying to identify where they're coming from, where the home office might be. So we're looking for a consumer who may have actually purchased this product and can give us the address that they're sending their payments to or something that will help us identify them.
And again, your number is 800-422-7128 in order to file a complaint.
Yes.
All right. So there you have it, Holly. Orvin in Ellison Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Orvin.
Howdy. Yeah, I have received several calls of that, like that, and I it is a ruse. That's all it is. And I tell them that I have two cars. And if they give me the VIN number, they will know which car it is, and they'll be able to determine then what it is. And they'll put up an argument, and I'll tell them, no, this is your call. You called me. I didn't call you. This is your call. You tell me what car the warranty is up on, and then I'll talk with you. And there's a great deal of argument there. And finally, you hear the click, and they're gone.
It's pretty clear. When they say your warranty is expiring, they really don't know.
No, they don't know.
Yep.
And you ask them to ask them for the VIN number. And that's it.
That's good advice.
There's one way to handle it. Thanks, Orvin. All right, on to, let's see, Kathy in Oshkosh, I believe, is next. Kathy, hello.
Hi, I'm not quite as clever as the previous caller. With the repetition of a similar situation, at first I said, you know, this is not in accordance with consumer law in the state of Wisconsin. Well, they hung up on me. The second time, or probably the fourth or fifth, I asked, which car is it you're talking about so I could be sure? They hung up on me. And about the, I'd say about the seventh or eighth time, they recognized my voice and just hung up. I guess there doesn't appear to be a way to get these people because do they move so often? And I'll hang up and listen. That's really all the information I have for you.
All right.
Well, what we're finding is they are telemarketing from a number of locations, and we do have a number of addresses. We think that the people who are doing the telemarketing are generating a lead for someone who is actually selling some kind of a warranty product. So we will find them eventually. We've located some of the telemarketers, and we're working with other states. So the biggest problem is we need to find out who the home office is that's actually has the product where you would be sending your checks. That's who we want to find. So we're looking for a consumer who may have actually bought the product and can give us a little more information. We will get them eventually. Consumers are complaining like crazy about this. This has been going on for several weeks where they've been called multiple times.
Oh. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Kathy. And Tim in Brown Deer is up next. Hi, Tim.
Hello there. My reason for calling is that I am continuously getting phone calls to my house from a political party that I have never supported, would never vote for, don't want to ever hear from again, and I'm wondering if there's any way that I can get them to stop calling me. the one that I want to call, wouldn't mind calls from never does.
That's the way it works. Political phone calls are one of the exemptions to the no-call law, and they, because it's not a commercial call, consumer protection just can't regulate that at all. We, you know, there are we can regulate commercial speech, but political calls and charities are arguably some kind of, you know, a protected speech. There really is no law. You know, and I don't know how nasty you would have to be to them to get them to stop calling you. There doesn't seem to be any limit.
No, I've been
limit.
Extremely, and I've requested several times to be taken off their list, and it does not stop. And I get the robocalls and all of that as well.
I
Even
fear it's going to be worse.
It just,
It's going to, you're saying it's going to be worse before it gets better, Jim.
Well, I think, you know, we're coming into the fall season.
Oh, sure.
Yes, we are.
Get ready. I think we're going to be completely pounded with political calls this time.
Okay.
Sorry, Tim.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for calling. Scott in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Not sure if this is quite your area of expertise or what, but I was wondering if there's a such thing as a lemon law on boats. I bought a brand new boat 2 years ago, and it's been had to get repainted twice. The motor went out on it, electrical problems, and now the trailer itself just literally fell apart yesterday. I bought it brand new, and granted, it's been all warranty work, but I have to drive it, you know, two plus hours north and all this, and it's been nothing but breaking down. It's been at a marina or down at the factory itself in Missouri more than I've actually had it in my possession. Haven't been able to use it hardly at all, and just really getting tired of it. I just wonder if there's such thing as that. I know there's for cars, but I didn't know if there was for boats.
Unfortunately, there are only two lemon laws in Wisconsin. One is for cars, and it's only for new cars, of course, for manufacturer defects. The other one is for motorized wheelchairs.
That's it.
Yeah, boats are a big ticket item, but there is no lemon law.
Spent almost $30,000 on a boat, and you can hardly use it.
Oh man!
Have you been dealing with the manufacturer directly? Been talking to their customer service reps? You know, trying to get them to do something for you, or where are you at with them?
And I really have to bother them about it to get them to do anything. And actually, I just got it back. It spent both winters from early fall up until the springtime at the manufacturer itself getting repainted because the paint keeps flaking off in big chunks, and it is flaking off again now. And I'm just so tired of dealing with it, and, you know.
That's a lot of money.
I know another guy that has a boat exactly the same. He bought it the same year I did, and his hull split on him about a month ago. He was going down. He was hitting waves or whatever, and the welds on his hull split.
Wow. Ouch. I wish there was some help for you. You know, I'm not sure if a private attorney would be willing to try and take some of this on, you know, kind of a lemon law situation where you could argue that the boat is so defective it's really not even a boat.
Yeah. And they admitted that they have been having problems with that line, and now they have mine is a 2006 model, and they admitted that they've been having problems with that boat, and they totally redesigned the boat for 2007 and 2008. It's totally different boat, because they admitted they had problems, but they said, well, all we can do is fix it until your warranty is up, and then you're on your own.
I don't know if a private attorney would want to try and take them on, but it might be worth
at least talking to somebody.
Yep.
All right. Good luck. I'm sorry, Scott. Bruce and Racine, it's your turn. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, hi. My problem is a little bit different. I get phone calls from all around the country, people returning calls that they say that I made. They pick up my telephone number on a caller ID, and then they take and dial it back or a star 60, something like that. And, sometimes what they end up doing is they wait for the next day, supposedly. But I just got two from Puerto Rico yesterday. I get a lot of them from the Deep South, some from Texas, a few from Indiana, Washington, and a few from right in Wisconsin. But it's my telephone number that they say back to me, but the name on their caller ID when it pops up is Pat and something like Kingerly or something like that. But it sounds like they're either scammers or bill collectors trying to bilk these people out of money. And I'm wondering, is there some way they can put my telephone number on a computer, Labonage account or something like that as a mask?
Are they trying to telemarket you, or they're just saying
they're returning a call? They're returning calls to me from somebody who's trying to telemarket them.
Okay.
In my phone number.
Yeah. Yes, there is a possibility. There is technology out there that can replace the caller ID with a fake number. And so it is possible that some telemarketer is putting your number over his account to cover it. And that makes it very difficult for anyone to figure out who the originator of the call is.
You almost have to change your number.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do because I got so many people that know my number, and I got to call all over the country to my people.
Yeah, that's...
I wish I could figure out how to, I figure sooner or later somebody's going to call me up irate enough and say something that the people on, using my number said to them, and I might be able to track them. Maybe it's local, and I could,
Yeah. Yeah, there is, unfortunately, there is a thing called caller ID spoofing, which is basically placing another number, replacing your caller ID with a different number.
Uh-huh.
And even the phone company, when they trace back, that's the number that shows up for them. So that is a very difficult situation, and it is illegal, but it is being done.
But it's almost impossible to catch them, I take it.
Very, very difficult. It takes undercover somebody to start taking those calls and questioning people and trying to find out, who's originating the call. So you'd almost have to have the help of the other people who are calling you.
Yeah. I've actually had a couple of them threaten to sue me because of harassing calls that they think I made.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Sounds like a collection agency on the far end of this thing.
Possibly.
No. I'm sorry. I wish we could be more help for you, Bruce.
Okay. Well, thanks anyhow.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Well, that's kind of a new one we haven't heard on the show before, but you've obviously heard about it.
There are technology changes going on daily out there. And, the caller ID spoofing is a very difficult situation because it does replace the phone company's information. So even the phone company
doesn't know.
Yeah.
Sean in West Salem is up next. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having my call today. So I have some advice for people who may have a wireless phone, at least. I'm not sure how it works with the landlines.
Yeah.
But I work for a wireless company, and one of the things that we can do as a company is do what's called a malicious call trace. Even if the number shows up as private or unknown, and it's not even showing the phone number, if a consumer files a police report stating that they're receiving harassing phone calls, the police department will then contact the corporate security for our company, who will then release, whatever time frame the police department requests, will release every incoming and outgoing phone call and then match it up to the times that the consumer is telling the police. Of course, it doesn't cost anything to file a police report, and if it's serious enough that people are genuinely feeling harassed, like the previous caller who was, people are threatening to sue him.
Yeah.
We can actually go back and trace those calls. And the police report will then get that taken care of. And, then there's something at least official on file someplace.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like good news.
That's good advice. That's some of the same activity that we try and do when consumers file complaints.
Mm-hmm.
There are varying degrees of success with it, but yes, that is something that agencies
that can be
who,
done.
Yes,
agencies.
Yep, and I know several customers that I've spoken with have gotten some final retribution or some form of justice out of it and been able to actually move on and get past all the problems they've been having. So there is hope out there, people.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sean, for calling.
Thanks, Sean.
Appreciate it. Pat in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hello. I'm calling about a magazine subscription company out of Golden, Colorado that a nice young gentleman came, caught me on a weak moment on a Sunday afternoon, and I purchased a magazine subscription from him. He gave the name of the company as Face-to-Face Technologies. I went on the Internet after he left, and what I read scared the heck out of me. So the two major things were that, A, people weren't actually ever getting the subscriptions, and then later on they would get, like, if one person had canceled or stopped payment on their check, and pretty soon they had a collection agency after them, and but they never got the magazine. And the other one was that some people had some money taken out of their checking account later on. So frantically Monday, I'm running around. I closed my checking account. I sent back there was a form I could send back to cancel the subscription, which I did. But I was just wondering if you'd heard of that organization at all, or if I just kind of, was I doing a Chicken Little? Or
no.
The name doesn't ring a bell with me, but it is the season for the door-to-door magazine sellers to start traveling Wisconsin. And
okay.
This is not an unusual situation. Young man, young person comes to your door, catches you. You filed your three-day right to cancel?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not received any kind of a confirmation, although I did send it signature required, so okay. I know that they got it.
Okay. And you canceled your checkbook?
I can't. When I read that people had, I paid with a check.
Okay.
So they had my account number. And one of the comments on the website was that, people had money taken from their account down the road. And I don't know that they could prove it was this company, but it made me nervous enough that I thought, well, I don't want to take any chances.
Yeah.
That's not bad advice. What I would say is you've done the right things, canceled the order, you looked up the company. What I would tell consumers, a couple pieces of advice, think real hard before you buy from someone who knocks on your door. You
right.
don't know who they are. We have horror stories about door-to-door sellers breaking in, doing all kinds of horrible things. So think very carefully about letting strangers. When you give them a check, you're releasing some pretty important information to a total stranger. Think
right.
real carefully about that. I would ask that you also file a complaint with us so that we can get the information, because this crew is probably traveling across the state and we'd like to know who they are.
Okay.
And so that will help us. We watch the transient sellers in the summertime and try and make sure that they're paying attention to Wisconsin laws and they're not mistreating their salespeople as well.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jim, are there any other things that we haven't covered today that are forefront in your mind?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about the storm damage and the advice. And if I could give four pieces of advice to people who are having problems with their homes and looking for repair, I would first say that in Wisconsin, contractors don't have to be licensed. So there will be people traveling through who the state doesn't even know about. There are local contractors who are hiring out-of-state subcontractors to build up their crew in order to handle the amount of business. Make sure that if you are working with a local contractor that you understand who's doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure if he's hired a subcontractor that you get lien waivers saying the subcontractor has been paid in full before you issue final payment. Do not do business with someone who comes and knocks on your door.
All right.
That's just a very frightening situation. And think real hard about how much money you're going to give a contractor before the job is done.
Yeah.
Make sure you're satisfied.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to another visit.
Thank you, Larry. My pleasure.
Jim Rabbit of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Again, their 800 number is 800-422-7128. And go ahead and use that and file a complaint if you feel it's necessary. Coming up tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri talks with us about the world of insects. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.